Ladies and gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a ranked 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on this show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back. Actually, Chris isn't here yet. Chris got caught up in traffic. He's still not home, but I didn't want to keep you guys waiting. So I am on here by myself. But a disappointing result today. Messi came back. Things were obviously dull in the first half because, well, we had our, I don't even want to call it a B team. It felt like a C team playing. And, I mean, I guess they held their own outside of a stupid slide tackle by Sailor inside his own box. Ended up going down 1-0. But then the cavalry came out in the second half. Kind of felt like things turned around. And we still managed to only come out with a draw. Chris said he's on his way. And I wasn't at the stadium, actually. I didn't get to go to the game today. Not that I didn't get to go. I was actually busy with something else. Like I told you guys an episode ago, my wife is pregnant. And today we had a little gender reveal. So we went ahead, kicked the soccer ball, and we got a little baby heron on the way, another little princess. So we got that going. Didn't make it to the game, but I had my own little celebration. And we wait for Chris because apparently it was crazy getting out of there. So here we go. And thank you for everybody saying congrats. That's baby number 3 for me. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So let's start at the very beginning. Starting 11. Now, I know this was a big topic of conversation, obviously. Let me see if I can slide this over for myself. This is a big topic of conversation, obviously, because, well, like you said, or like I said, this is obviously a C team. We had Sunderland. Avilés, for some reason, was playing out in the midfield with Gressel. We had Borjalin. I don't mind Borjalin. I think Borjalin hasn't had enough of an opportunity to really contribute. And still more people saying congrats. Appreciate you guys. But why is Borjalin playing wide? Borjalin doesn't have the pace nor the footwork to produce out wide. He is a through-and-through number 9. He is a striker that needs service inside the box, and there's absolutely no reason to have him out wide. There was a few times that I saw him trying to beat out a ball. Now, I will tell you that when he is running down the touchline and he has defenders on his back, his body is so wide that although he doesn't have the pace to outrun anybody, people can't get around him, and he ends up getting fouled most of the time whenever he does have or he's trying to win a ball on the touchline. But it doesn't make sense to me why that keeps happening. So that was one thing that I was disappointed with the starting 11. Then again, who else could have played out there? I mean, I guess you could have had Alfonso out on the right and maybe Negri up top, Noah Allen as a left back, and then put somebody else at center back. We were just so thin with all the injuries and the fact that we were trying to rest people for Wednesday that it felt like this game was just, it was almost like a throwaway. Like I want to say that a draw the way it happened sucks, but with the circumstances, the fact that we're just waiting for Wednesday, the fact that we wanted to rest all our big guys, I felt like a draw was okay. I predicted a draw. I think Chris predicted a win, but all in all, I'm okay with a draw with the circumstances. We're not losing. I didn't check the standings exactly where we are after this result. I think after this result right now, we sit at third. We are third in the East. In this league, if you're not losing, you're going to stay at the top. If you can continue to, I don't know, sneak out one-pointers every week, not that I want that, but again, given the circumstances, I mean, it's not necessarily the worst result in the world. So the first half, I felt like it was relatively boring. We couldn't get much done, and it felt like the Rapids had control, but they just couldn't finish in the final third. So I guess defensively we were looking okay. Obviously, Ryan Saylor, why he would go for a slide tackle so recklessly inside of his own box, it makes absolutely no sense to me. Ryan Saylor obviously doesn't play much, so when he does, he needs to have a good head on his shoulders. And for those of you that are in the chat, I know I'm just randomly here. I'm going to try my best to put your comments up. But again, Chris is usually the one that runs this, so it's hard to talk and focus in on your chat at the same time. So Ryan Saylor, really, it perplexed me why he would do such a silly thing. Honestly, it ended up costing us the game. I know that we got that second goal late, and we'll get into that in a second. But in all actuality, like, why on earth would you go for such a reckless play? And Leandro Fernandez is saying, throw away Danny, really. What the hell are you talking about? Stop defending the coach's decision. I'm not defending the coach's decision. I'm saying, given the circumstance, when I saw the starting lineup, I would have been happy with a draw. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I want a draw, but when you look at this starting 11, you think, if I get a draw, when you think about the fact that we are focused in on Wednesday's game for the Champions Cup, that's what really matters. When you look at that, the fact that Negri is playing his first game back, you got Noah Allen and Saylor as your center backs. You have David Ruiz as right back, which he didn't look bad, by the way. You have Toto Aviles for some reason out there in the midfield somewhere. And you have Borgelin playing as a wide forward. Like, when you look at this, and maybe you're saying that maybe he could have put something better out there, but literally, when you look at the bench, it was Dos Santos. He's not going to play, obviously. He's the backup goalie. Then you have Alba. You want to rest him. Busquets, you want to rest him. Cremaki isn't ready. Freire, you want to rest him. Gomez, you want to rest him. Messi, want to rest him. Suarez, you want to rest him. Now, if you want to say maybe Weigand should have played, maybe. Yeah, he should be pretty fresh. But everybody else on the bench, you wanted to rest him for Wednesday. So maybe he could have come out with a different formation, right? With a 4-4-2 and have Borgelin and Campana up top by themselves and have four wide in the midfield. So maybe if you're saying that. But given the lineup that we had to start this game, a draw, again, I'm not saying I want a draw. I'm not saying that Tata should get a pass for putting Borgelin out wide and Aviles in the midfield. But considering the players that we had available to us, a draw isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world. Now, the way it ended up playing out definitely hurts. It definitely makes you feel bad. But, I mean, the way we got there also, I'm sure that minute number 60, people were feeling pretty good also. But, again, the first half, it ended, if it wasn't for that penalty, our defense wasn't giving up a lot. And I'm here trying to find this game right here. We weren't giving up a lot. And then all in all, let's see. Possession, we held possession this game in the first half. We had, it was actually 50-50 possession in the first half. We had 7 total shots, 2 shots on target to their 1 shot on target. I mean, for it being the BC team, whatever you want to call it, in the first half, they played decent, I would say. Obviously, I'm not necessarily thrilled about the result, but again, it could have been a lot worse. We went into the half 1-0, and then we all knew that eventually Messi and friends would come on at some point. Now, I thought that Messi would only be out there for, 10, 15 minutes. I was very surprised when he was out there to start the second half. And with that said, I think Mr. Chris Duran finally got home from that 2-hour drive. How are you doing, sir?
Good, man. I had to make a couple pit stops, but yeah, finally back. It was crazy, man. I want to get into more of like the feel in the stadium and the starting lineup.
Yes, go for it. Because I was telling them to start the show that I wasn't there. And also Chris, I haven't talked to Chris today. Look what I got here.
Hey, there we go. Nice.
That's right. I got a little baby girl
awesome,
on the way,
man.
Yeah,
awesome.
There we go. So, real. So yeah, I wasn't at the game though. So please fill me in. How was the experience at the stadium?
You know, it's crazy because when the game started, and you know, we got a guy named Mike that sits in our seats next to us, and he kind of looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, "Man, it feels kind of like the old days, huh?" In the beginning, like the security guards, they were like talking to each other, like congregating. Everybody was distracted. Everybody was like not really caring because like Messi's not on the court. Not on the field. Here I am talking about court. You know, I want to bring something up.
Hold on. Congrats, by the way.
Yeah, man. It's a beautiful thing, guys. Alejandro saying, I was missing Chris's white wall. And Anton John, it says, Chris doing white on white again. You know what, guys? Guys, you know, I ran into someone at the stadium. And shout out to King. I think it was B. King that I ran into at the stadium. He told me, he's like, you know what? Forget about you guys that are clowning on my white wall. I got all this stuff. I'm gonna give it a week. You guys are on probation. How about that? And you know what? Yes, I'm wearing sleeves for the third episode in a row, Mr. Krabs. All you losing your bets, all of you. So it felt kind of like the old times. It felt kind of like the old times in terms of like the first 40-45 minutes. But yeah, I mean, when Messi got on the field, like the whole stadium erupted. And it really got to me because I feel like I wish that there was more involvement from all over the stadium, not just from the supporters group and in the North Stand. I really wish that people would get a little bit more involved, you know, with the singing and the stomping. I don't know why everybody stomps off beat. You guys don't know how to dance? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Like, you guys don't know how to dance? Like, you guys don't catch beats? People don't know how to catch a beat? So,
it's not easy.
And this right here is what I walked away with. Vice City Lucas mentioning in the comments, Franco Negri is amazing. I missed him. He is a machine. Guys, that's the one thing I wanted to point out. The Punisher is back. The Punisher is back. I mean, I don't know what you thought, Danny, but I was like, I was amazed that he's back.
It is nice to see him back, and I'll put, because I know you weren't here when I was going over the starting 11. I'll put it back on the screen. It was nice to see Negri, but when you look at the pairing of Allen and Saylor at center back, that's rough. Toto Aviles randomly in the midfield, that makes no sense to me. And then I think more than all of that. Because I mean, I'm gonna be very honest with you. I was double screening it today because WrestleMania was on. I was watching WrestleMania with my kids, and I was watching the game. So I didn't focus in on where Toto Aviles was exactly. It's very possible that he was almost playing like a third center back, and they were playing with three in the back. You'd have to tell me, or maybe somebody in the chat can tell me. But I could see that being a possibility. But what really gets me is why is Borjalin playing as a wide forward? He doesn't have nor the pace nor the technique to be productive out there. He is a nine that should be in the box, receiving service, and finishing in front of the goal. Like, I don't see what – like, obviously, Tata sees him in training, and maybe he sees something that I haven't seen yet, but I don't get why Borjan would be out there.
And this is what I see because Hammy mentioned Aviles was low-key cooking. I mean, Aviles, he wasn't bad and he wasn't good. He's kind of like a lower level Redondo, I guess. Tall, lanky, can be able to play with his feet here and there.
You mean by stature, not by actually?
Yeah, by stature, like, and I guess
not by
skill.
By
No.
Okay, got you. Understood.
All I'm saying is, when it comes to this starting lineup right here, I looked at it and I'm like, what the fuck is going on in Miami? What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, Borjalin is playing a wing. You have Gomez on the bench.
Well, this is one of the things that I brought up, though. When you look at the subs, you have Dos Santos, backup goalie, so obviously he can't play. Then you have Busquets, you're resting him for Wednesday. Kiremaki isn't ready yet. Freire just got back from injury, resting him for Wednesday. Gomez, he ran more than anybody on this past Wednesday, so you're resting him for Wednesday. Messi, obviously, resting for Wednesday. Suarez, resting for Wednesday. Weigand, I thought he should play because he should be pretty fresh, but resting him for Wednesday, apparently. So everybody on the bench is ready to play on Wednesday. So there isn't much else he could have done on the starting lineup outside of changing the formation, which I think would have made sense. I don't see why he wouldn't have gone 4-4-2 and had Campana and Borgelin as lone strikers back there, or a duo strikers.
Well, that would have made sense because Alfonso, I've seen that he's played like a wing, but he's also played sort of a midfield as well.
And Alejandro's asking, do I have any little future Inter Miami players? My daughter plays, but I mean, got to wait for that women's team to come up. And then my son is 4. We've got trying to get him into soccer. He's still not in it yet, but hopefully soon.
I'll tell you, I didn't like this lineup at all. I hated it. I love seeing Negri start finally because we've been telling you guys, Negri is fucking nice. And I can't wait to see him and Alba play together. And it happened today, and it looked great. Even though, I mean, Alba was kind of just all over the place, even though he was technically like a left wing. But yeah, Borgelin, look, we had a thing for Borgelin last year, but like in the right wing, buddy. And he's been thrown out there more times than I even care to like really want to care about. We've seen him at that position, Danny, a number of times this year already. Like, I don't know if Tata sees what we see or if we don't see or if we don't see what Tata sees. I mean, do you think that Borgelin carries the potential of being a backup winger on this team? At this point, Campana's injured now again.
Yeah. Well, so, I was going to get into that for sure. But winger, no. I don't think he's ever going to be a winger. I think they're just trying to find offense, and they just put him out there wide because they like to play with two wide, right? A left wing and a right wing. But it makes no sense to me because it doesn't work with him out there. Now, I think we haven't seen him enough as a lone striker, which I think is where he would probably be best at. And he had that opportunity when Campana got injured. He got moved to the lone striker, and there was a point there where he had a ball land right in front of him, in front of goal, and he wasn't able to push it into the goal. So he hasn't necessarily done the most with his opportunities either. Now, getting onto the Campana front, Campana is the new glass leg. Campana cannot stay healthy. Like, who had Campana playing less games than Luis Suarez due to injury? Like, that's most people were like, oh, no, give it to Campana. Campana should be starting. Trade away Suarez. Remember that? Get rid of him. We want Campana. Campana, one, he's never healthy. And two, when he is, he has a game here or there that he's good, and then he has a game where he disappears. He hasn't been consistent. So I'm starting to sell my stock on Campana, unfortunately.
Well, the worst part is that he was so highly sold to us pre-Messi and post-Messi.
Well, because he balled out when he got his first opportunity. When we first started seeing him, he was balling.
David Reichert is saying he's useless. I don't know about useless, but he's just having some bad luck. Christian with a K, phenomenal name, by the way, buddy, saying, Danny and Chris, what do you think about Jordi as left wing now that Negri is back as left back and Taylor potential injury? This is something that Danny has mentioned in past episodes. And now with Taylor out, because let me tell you, if Taylor was playing today, he'd be eating. He would have ate out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I answered it for you, but I'm pretty sure that you agree.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I'm here looking at the grades that they give, and the whole game, Negri was the highest graded player.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Anton John.
At least Alfonso, David Ruiz was.
Alfonso's not better than Campana. He had a goal today. But he's not better than Campana. He's more. No,
but he did a good job finishing.
Because he was given a messy pass.
Yeah, but Diego Gomez doesn't finish that. And I love Diego Gomez. But Diego Gomez, how many times has he gone wide with that?
Yeah. Alejandro saying, I like the way Inter satisfied the fans with Messi. Listen, the moment that Messi got up and started running to, warm up, the entire stadium, the feel of it, like you literally felt everyone literally cheering. It went from where I'm sorry, and I know that a lot of people are probably going to hate on what I'm going to say, but the supporter section were legitimately the only people with fire in their soul when they were chanting and screaming throughout the whole game in the beginning. And everywhere else, it was just fucking dead. And obviously, there was nothing really being generated throughout the game. But the moment that he got up, everybody just fucking lit up.
The whole stadium still woke up at that
point?
The
whole stadium. The whole stadium. It's really fucking crazy.
That's not good.
Like, this guy, if you see a fart cloud coming out of his ass, people would stand up for that. I don't get it. I mean, I get it.
You don't get it?
I get it. But like, it's like a shell shock, because you know you've been to these games before Messi came, and then now that Messi's here, it's like you get it. You get the craze. I was telling my daughter about the game, how he came in the second half and sort of just in the matter of what, 5-7 minutes, we scored 2 goals.
Yep.
She's like, if I was playing with Messi, I'd fucking kill myself. And I'm like, well, I mean, not that crazy. But like, imagine you're playing with Messi. You think you're good, but you're nobody. You're playing with the greatest player on the whole fucking planet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, do you want to touch anything else on the first half? Do you want to talk about Ryan Saylor's horrible foul?
You could talk about it more than I can, because I literally
sloppy.
I stepped away from my seats 2 minutes before so I can go get Dippin' Dots.
Oof. Just so you know, you just offended Messi's number one cocksucker right here. Don't get it.
Hold on. Wait. Let me touch up on this. Irwin, I literally, for the last minute and 34 seconds, talked about how great he is and how impactful he is to this team. And you're literally going to get the only phrase that I said negative out of the 1 minute and 34 seconds of when I said, I don't get it. You were really doing this, Irwin. No come tanta mierda, brother. Por favor.
Don't disrespect the GOAT, Chris.
Oh my God. I literally respected him for 98% of that transaction.
Don't disrespect the GOAT. That's all I'm saying. So the first half, Ryan Saylor was the reason we were down. Because although we weren't necessarily doing great, we didn't give up many chances. The defense, we were playing very defensive, and I was surprised because our guest Mitchell from a couple of days ago literally said, "Hey, we press and we press a lot." They did not press us, which was a positive thing.
Yeah,
right. When I saw that, I was like, "Oh, maybe we have a chance." Because I knew that we had Messi come in the second half. I knew Jordi Alba was probably going to come in the second half, Diego Gomez. So I was excited. I don't know. The first half, it was okay. It was okay. I guess it's the best way I could put it. It was okay for the team we had out there, the formation we had out there, the energy in the stadium, from what you're saying. Going down 1-0 into the half and knowing what we had coming in the second half, I didn't feel that bad. Now the second half comes around.
Yeah.
Messi comes in. Completely different game. Before we get into the second half, I wanted to give you or ask you something real quick and ask the chat also. What do you guys think of the fact that Messi came out here and played the whole half? Because to me, and I know I'm some people probably disagree with me, but to me, if he was able to play a whole half today, I think he could have given us 10-15 minutes on Wednesday.
He probably could have. And you know, I've been thinking about it for the last week or so, about Messi and his playing time and his injury. Danny, I really think that at this point, Tata's not making any decisions. I don't think that the medical staff is making any decisions unless there's like a tear or unless there's like a fracture. Like, I think they're legitimately just leaving the decision up to him and like, hey, do you feel good? And he's like,
all right, yeah, I can probably play. Right, I get it. But I'm talking to you as a fan of this team.
Yeah.
When they came into the season, they literally told us, that's cute, Leagues Cup, MLS Cup, all that is cute. But
this is our
Champions
baby.
Cup is what we're prioritizing. This is what matters to us. This is what we need to win. If this is what we need to win, if he was able to play 45 minutes, and I know a lot of people saying that maybe he was gassed halfway through, but if he was able to run out there for 45 plus minutes, right, it was 6 minutes of extra time. So 50 yeah. minutes, if he was able to play 50 minutes today, he could have given us 10-15 on Wednesday. And that might have made a difference, because that if we don't win Champions Cup, which is in major jeopardy, a lot of people are going to consider this season as a failure, even though we're not even halfway through it. But that was what we needed to win. That was a priority.
So you think that if we don't win this or get far in this, it's a failure, even if we win other trophies?
I think this was obviously, if we win the MLS Cup at the end of the year, you're like, okay, it wasn't an all complete failure. But for it to be a complete success, Champions Cup, it was is what's necessary. That's the only international, I mean, if you want to count League's Cup, I guess, but that's the only international trophy. That's the one that would have gotten us to the Club World Cup next year. Like, that's what you want. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, and look, Grace is mentioning, Grace, you have a pretty good comment here. You guys want to win the championship with this defense. I imagine that when we do decide to compete, like, after this, you know, after the Triple C, then we'll probably have a different defense at that point. But at this point, I think that we can compete with the defense that we have.
In the Champions Cup, I can see why everybody's saying that maybe we can't compete. But in the MLS, you can compete with this defense. Like, look at today, we had Noah Allen and Ryan Saylor as our center backs. David Ruiz, which is a random right back that shouldn't be playing right back, even though he's been playing it well. And then you have Negri, who just came back from injury. Yeah. With that, we were playing against the Colorado Rapids team that couldn't score on us. They did it. They had two shots on target, or maybe one shot on target all first half. Like, if it wasn't for that random horrible slide tackle by Ryan Saylor, which was so ill-timed. If you were to look at that replay, it was so ill-timed. It made no sense to me what happened there. We would have gotten out with a clean sheet probably in that first half. So this defense wasn't necessarily giving up shots and goals left and right.
Well, so. and the last goal, I mean, we can get to the last goal later on after we talk a little bit. Go ahead.
No, I was throwing one up for Tommy one time in the tribal chief.
Yeah. I heard of what, The Rock won the championship or something like that?
No, but it was a tag team match. It's the longest tag team match I've ever seen in my life. It lasted like an hour, but it was good. It was entertaining.
That's nice. So,
yeah. Me and Tommy are talking about starting a wrestling podcast. So if any wrestling fans, let us know if you'd be down for that.
That would be phenomenal. And I mean, after Messi got on, then what? I think Sunderland came off. No, that's when Campana got off. That's when he got injured. Now, I couldn't see from my perspective what happened with Campana, because it was on the other side of the field from where we sit. What is it that exactly happened to Campana?
From what I was reading, a lot of people are saying it could be hamstring. I don't know. Like I said, my eyes were flipping back and forth between two screens. When I looked back, Campana was already on the floor. So I'm not sure exactly what happened to him and why he ended up on the ground. But, I mean, at this point, I'm not necessarily surprised when he gets injured, unfortunately. It's unfortunate.
No, I was going to say, Trukutu is saying, I'll never predict a Borjolin hat trick again. I mean, look, a goal you can predict. I don't know about a hat trick. And everybody is mentioning hamstring.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that's what I heard. And Dennis Lopez, wrestling before hockey. Dennis, I promise you, I've considered hockey, but I only do podcasts where I feel comfortable talking about the sport or wrestling, because I kind of feel like I know it almost like the back of my hand. I can talk about it easily. Hockey, even though I love it, I couldn't break it down for you. And so I wouldn't put any product out there that I don't feel comfortable talking about.
And there's been a couple people actually in the Inter Miami fandom that do talk hockey. So like,
but they would probably be the only ones listening. So if the people hosting it are the only ones that are going to listen, what do you got going Chris?
Yeah. It's true.
So, yeah. Is there something wrong with this medical staff? Like, at some point, you have to start questioning the medical staff or the training staff, the trainers. Like, there has to be something. Like, injuries are a part of sports and of every team, and everybody goes through it. But at the rate that we are getting injured, it's starting to become, it can't be a coincidence. At some point, things stop being a coincidence. So look, David said, 50th hammy, fire the training staff into the sun. I don't like to say fire somebody because I don't know enough about, you know, what they do and how they can avoid it. But man, it has to be put into question. Like, for there to be this many injuries, it's really weird.
Well, and Kalada's mentioning a good point. We don't even play on turf and have more injuries than anybody else. And I want to mention something here, because a lot of people used to hate on Phil Neville, and a lot of people used to put blame on Phil Neville for his practices or whatever, and that's why a lot of people were getting injured. People have been considering the same thing about the medical staff back then, but since it was Phil Neville, it's like, oh, Phil Neville. And look at what we're doing now, talking about the medical staff. I mean, Phil Neville could have kept us undefeated. I don't know. I'm just here talking, you know. We're just talking, just two guys.
Hey, Steve, I actually said that just a couple minutes ago, that he is the new Glass Legs, and I'm starting to, unfortunately, as much as of a Campana fan that I am, I'm starting to get ready to sell on his stock. I don't believe that he could either stay healthy or stay consistent very often. So it's unfortunate, but I'm starting to lose my optimism with Campana.
Well, it's the dude is mentioning they need to stretch, do yoga, acupuncture, something. That's what happens when you lose Yedlin, and now Callender isn't doing that kind of stuff. So, and there definitely does need to do that. And Freddie, you're catching on, buddy. I got sleeves. It is a world record.
A lot of people. He found out that you guys were betting. He found out you guys are betting on him. So now he's trying to mess up with people's money. That's what he's trying to do.
You know what's funny is I actually have a sleeveless shirt right over there on the table. I was going to put that bad boy on, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to change.
All right. So second half starts. Messi comes in. Messi immediately makes a difference. Messi is receiving the ball deep in his own half, bringing the ball up. He's creating in a span of what? It was like 12, 13 minutes. We went from down 1-0 to up 2-1. And that was, I mean, you have to put that on Messi's back. Messi literally put the team on his back and started creating players. The defense started gravitating towards Messi, giving room to other players. Like that cross from, was it Ruiz to Afonso? Like,
yeah,
he was all by himself down on the left side because the defense are sucked in to the middle and the right side. Like, it's Messi is an absolute game changer. And after that second goal, I'm sure you, like most people in the chat and myself, all felt like, oof, Monterrey must be shitting themselves right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're cooked.
Because one, you see how Messi's playing in the first 12 minutes he's playing. And then all that stuff came out about the drama after the game on Wednesday, where, you know, spicy Messi showed up after the game. And then this kid, I forgot the guy's name from Monterrey, that came out with a video today talking about his side of this. Nobody gives a shit about your side of the story, my guy. Don't try to get the publicity now, because you know your name's in the papers. Nobody, I forgot your name and I'll never remember it. But he came out, started talking about what happened. Messi is upset and he's going to come out on Wednesday. And Monterrey fans, I know, are feeling it. So that's what I mean, look, after minute 60.
Well, look at the impact that he had in a half, Danny. Put that in a whole game off rip. Off rip, that changes the entire dynamic of the game. Changes the whole dynamic.
Rohan's asking, will they suspend Alba, like ESPN was saying? I haven't heard about them. Why would they suspend Alba? What did Alba do? I know that they went. I don't know what they did. If you could fill me in. I do know that supposedly Messi and Tata were going after the refs. And but I don't know. I haven't heard about anything crazy happening.
I ran into a couple that listens to our show, and one of their biggest concerns was the way that the refs have been reffing these games for us, or better said, against us. you know, it's kind of like the refs kind of have it out for Inter Miami. Maybe it's just because of the, maybe it's because of the players, because of their stature, and they expect something a little different. But I tend to agree a little bit. I think that some of these referees, they kind of, they're prepped before the game. Like, hey, you got these guys. And, Tony Axe is mentioning that Alba allegedly, basically Allen Iverson, someone from Monterrey.
Latrosse Sprewell.
Or, oh yeah, Latrosse Sprewell. Wrong braids. My bad.
Yeah.
Even though he probably has choked somebody.
He might have. I'm surprised he never did that to Larry Brown. I haven't heard anything about that. Unfortunately, today's been a busy day for me, so I wasn't on my phone looking at stuff. I did randomly see that some guy came out and had like his own like little video for people, but I don't know. If it's all speculation and there's no proof, I can't imagine that anything would happen to him. And to the point that you say that the refs are roughing against Inter Miami, I highly doubt that. Like, I hope that they are trying to call things down the middle. But I do think that if they were going to ref in favor of somebody, they would ref in favor of us. Because everybody wants to see Messi in that final on June 2nd for the CONCACAF Champions. I really do believe that. I believe that if they're going to do anything for a team, I think it would be for us. So I don't believe that they're reffing against us.
Ooh, Kevin is bringing up a point here. Same ref today who pissed Messi last season with Nashville. So all I'm saying is I think a zesty Messi, spicy Messi is going to be a bad problem for Monterrey. And if he made this impact in a 10-minute span, just imagine if he starts the game against Monterrey. Gassed up.
Let's put that into perspective. He did make that impact in 10 minutes, but then what did he do for the last 30? He was gassed. We didn't score again.
Give him a couple days.
100%. Bobby. No, I'm not doubting it. I've always said that I think that we'll win on Wednesday if Messi plays. Yeah. But what I'm saying is we scored those first two goals, but we stopped scoring, right? Like, it wasn't like we put up four or five. In Monterrey, I mean, Monterrey is obviously a billion times better than the Rapids.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing in Mexico, so it definitely will be more difficult. But with that said, I do think that Monterrey is shitting in their pants.
Well, and Irwin thinks that that's why Messi played today.
I think he should have played 10 minutes on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, if the way that you see him play today, you would imagine that he could have given at least 10 minutes. But
that's
then
it.
It's like,
that's
okay,
what I'm saying.
When do you want the 10 minutes? You want it in the beginning? You want it in the end? Is it going to make
at
a difference
end,
towards the end?
100%. I mean, but that's... Could you imagine if he would have came in the 75th minute? In the 75th minute, if he comes in or the 80th minute, Monterrey no longer are as aggressive offensively because they don't want to get beat by Messi. At that point, they're 1-1, and they're like, all right, we're 1-1. We got the draw. We got the away goal. Let's buckle down and make sure that we take this one home because Messi's here, and we don't want to get randomly scored on at the very end of the game. And that would have changed things. With Messi on the pitch, even with 10 men, I am 100% that, yes, I know that we were down 10 men. And I know that maybe they wouldn't have brought him on because of that. But if he would have been suited up, I would have tried it. I think that
you got nothing to lose at that point, really.
I think that would have changed Monterrey's strategy. But yes, the 10 men thing does screw it up. I think that that's why we didn't see Campana either, because we went more defensive.
And Marasovic is saying if a Ruiz ejection still happens.
Yeah, I understand. The 10-man thing does make it more difficult. But when you're putting out the lineups, you don't know that's going to happen. So he should have been on the bench, in my opinion, I think. And then at that point, okay, we're down to 10 men. We can't put him in. But I think he should have been out there. Not out there. I think he should have been on the bench. And maybe if the red card happens, maybe you don't play him because you go more defensive. But I would have had him out there. And if that red card doesn't happen, we probably don't give up a goal, period. And I think he should be out there for the last 10 minutes. So,
hey, Juan, thanks for the comment there, buddy, saying that we don't know crap about Monterrey. It's a good thing because in our last episode on Wednesday, we had someone that knew a lot about Monterrey. And we had him in two languages, in English and in Spanish. And we're also going to have him again this week in English and in Spanish. So we might not know too much about Monterrey, but we get people that know a little bit more than us about Monterrey. So,
Juan, but I'm curious, Juan, why did you say we don't know a crap about Monterrey? Like, I know we don't, but like, what is there to know? You guys are overrated. You guys finally scored when we were down to 10 men.
Barely.
So, I mean, I get it. And Monterrey is a good team, but I think slightly overrated because
I mean,
everybody thought that they were going to kill us even if Messi played. And without Messi, you barely won.
So, I mean, Juancito, are you a fan of Monterrey? I think you should reconsider your options, so. Buddy.
I would assume reconsider. That he is a yeah. I would assume so. All right.
What? Miami will tremble when they see the stadium, bro?
Why? Because they got that big mountain in the background?
What's so special about your stadium, my guy?
I don't know.
What do you mean we're not fair? We're very fair. I mean, we are an Inter Miami podcast, so obviously we're not going to be like, you know, telling you that you guys are the greatest team. We saw you guys.
No,
you guys are a fraud.
But I was giving them a lot of respect. Everybody was telling me that we were going to get rocked. Even if Messi played, we were going to lose 3-4-1. I was like, man, this team must be amazing.
Oh,
and then
this is
no
the
Messi.
Name.
And then
you're mid-terrain. That's what you are, Dennis. This is the comment of the night. Mid-terrain. Mediano.
So let me tell you something. Oh, look, we got a little Toronto love over here. What's going on in Italy? I definitely mid-terrain. If we win on Wednesday and eliminate them, they would definitely go down as mid-terrain for forever. But look, we thought that you guys were going to dominate, especially when Messi didn't play. And up until the 60th minute when we got a red card, we dominated but we had control of most of that game because you guys couldn't figure out what to do offensively. But again, we're getting off subject. We're going to talk plenty about Monterrey on Monday. So yeah. Messi comes on, scores a goal, gets the assist. Things are looking good. And then, as usual, we give up a late goal off a counter.
Yeah.
Now, who do you blame for that goal that we just gave up right there to end the game?
Well, I didn't see it. Listen, it happened so fast, to be honest. The way that we gave that goal up, I don't really know who to blame because Noah Allen was looking at Negri like if he was at fault for the goal. But then Negri was looking at someone else like if they were at fault for the goal. So, like, I didn't really know who to give the blame to.
Well, it looked like Busquets was left trailing the person that scored. And, I mean, you can't count on Busquets with his pace getting back on anybody. And then
My name is Jeff. You have to say it like that.
Can this Miami podcast be more fair to not Miami teams? I think we're pretty fair. We literally have a guest on every week to come and tell us about their teams. I feel like I'm pretty fair always. A lot of our listeners call us Messi haters. So, okay. Gotcha.
My name is Jim. He says that was sarcasm, bros. Okay.
Okay. That's all right. Now I will. I don't know if you've seen pictures of the stadium in Monterrey, that big mountain that you can see from inside the stadium. It does look very nice. It does look very, very nice. But and food lover hates Messi. Oh, you're going to have a tough day on Wednesday. I don't think that Messi gives a crap about what the stadium looks like. I don't think Messi gives a shit about what these people are yelling. I know that when this Mexico versus USA, Mexican fans like to yell things and get the games like delayed. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Messi, Suarez, or anybody cares what anybody's chanting. That's not going to affect absolutely anybody on this team. Drake doesn't understand Spanish, so that's not going to affect him. Like, nobody's worried about the fans, about the scenery, about the mountain. Like, none of that's going to matter. It's going to be strictly on the pitch. And if you really think that that's going to affect any of these players that have played for so long in such big games across this world, you're crazy. You're absolutely out of your mind. If you think that these players on this team are actually going to be affected by Monterrey, like, it's not happening. Now, Will they not win? Maybe, but I promise you it won't be because it's in Mexico. Not why it's happening. That's not why they're going to lose.
I mean, Juan is chiming in again. Not the stadium, hostile vibes. Like, hostile.
What are you talking about? What hostile vibes? I don't think Messi's worried about anybody running on the pitch. Have you seen a security guard? He runs up and down the pitch next to him. And Messi's not worried about no hostile vibes. Nobody's running onto the pitch to attack them. Like, you guys overrate that garbage. Nobody gives a shit about your home field advantage. So fucking stupid.
They care. They think the players come into the stadium and they're like, oh man, that fucking mountain back there.
Do you feel that fucking vibe?
Do you feel
they're yelling at us? Oh fuck. Come on, man. Like, maybe if it was like the today's squad, like these young kids, I could get that. Maybe they would go in there and be like, man, like, this is a big game. Like, they're listening to the chants. But like, the players that we have right now that have won World Cups and been in big situations, they don't give a crap about that. I'm sorry. Nowhere is that going to affect them. And if you think that, you're mistaken. I promise you.
So. Ronald is mentioning something factual. That mountain is a vibe, bruh.
It is. Like, I've seen pictures, and it does look pretty awesome.
Look, I mean, it's a nice backdrop for your fucking computer screen.
Yeah, it is nice.
But you think Messi's worried about it when he's going into the stadium? Like, absolutely not.
No, and everybody's like, oh yeah, Monterrey plays good at home. I don't give a shit. I don't care. They said that they play good everywhere, and they play like shit in Miami.
Exactly. So, super suspect.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. We've gotten way off topic. But today's game was pretty boring. Outside of those like 12 minutes when Messi dominated, today's game was pretty boring. They ended up getting that counter. Busquets was left trailing. Obviously, he couldn't do it well. And unfortunately, Drake couldn't get to that. He almost blocked that penalty, by the way. I didn't mention that. He got a finger, I think, on that penalty.
Yeah, he went the right direction,
But wasn't able to block it. And it was just disappointing because you had the lead 2-1, and then you give it up in like the 88th, 89th minute, something like that. So that was very disappointing that they gave it up that late. But, you know, it's a draw in the 88th minute. It's a draw. We are now 3-3-2, and we're third in the East.
Well, and Peaches is mentioning something here. He's literally been on the world's biggest stages, played the absolute highest level and championships. He's not afraid of a fucking mountain in Mexico. I added the F word, Peaches. I'm sorry. Peaches is a lot more decent than I am, but I added that.
But that's what I don't understand, man. People make such a big deal. Like, and again, if we had David Ruiz, Cremaki, like Noah Allen going to play over there in that big game against this good team, then I think maybe the nerves are kicking. But ain't nobody worried. Luis Suarez ain't worried about that. Busquets isn't worried about that. Like, these guys are used to that. You have Christoph, who's played in Ukraine. Ukraine gets just as crazy as South America. Like, you got players that have played in these environments. Toto Aviles has played in the Argentinian League. He's seen an environment. You have Chelo Weigand that just came from Boca. He's played in those derbies between Boca and River Plate. Like, they've seen environments. Like, they're not worried about your fucking mountain. I promise you. Like, there's no vibe in Monterrey that's going to scare absolutely anybody on this team.
Yeah, we need to save this for the next show, because we are getting way too off topic. And all this Monterrey that's like swirling around what's going on is like completely. One thing I want to mention about the game, since we really have nothing else too much too important. I got to say that the people traveled very well at the stadium from Colorado. Like,
really?
I saw a lot of jerseys.
Wow.
And they were spruced out. They were spruced out pretty much in a lot of places. And that's something that I looked at. And I'm like, wow, sucks that you guys traveled pretty well and Messi's not going to play. And then look at that. They get a treat. They get to be able to see Messi. He scored. It was a tie game. So your team essentially won, I guess, you know, coming out of an away game. So it was a treat for people that came and traveled. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then P. Thewis says, Danny, take it easy about the mountain, bro. Pythias, okay.
Bruh.
Take it easy about the mountain. Well, I mean, it's the mountain, and I guess because Mexicans like to chant marica a lot. No, it's not marica. That's what Colombians do. What was it that they were? Puto, was it? That they were chanting in the Mexico-USA game that they were getting in trouble for?
Yeah, puta or puto.
Something. Like, do you really think that that's going to – like, that's right there. That's what's going to hurt our players. They're going to be like, oh, I can't go on. Like, at the ferocity that they're chanting this, I just can't go on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Nobody worried about that. But, again, we're going to get into that on Monday with Eddie from the Monterrey coverage. So, this should be fun on Monday. So today we have 3 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses. Again, when Messi plays, we don't lose. So that continues. That's why I don't doubt that we're going to win against Monterrey. Would it be enough to move on? I don't know, but I don't think that we're going to lose. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself again, but we don't lose with Messi. We are now 3-3-2. We're third in the East. And overall, how do you feel about the result today, Chris?
I'm not a big fan. These last two MLS games, I have a feeling that we're going to look back at these last two MLS games and we're going to be like, we needed those. We needed those points.
Why? Because you think that going on the road to Atlanta or Nashville is all of a sudden going to – we're not scared of mountains in Mexico. I don't care about going to the playoffs and playing on the road either. Like, we don't care about home field advantage.
I don't mind it either, but I want some extra home games, bruh.
Yeah, okay. Personally, okay, I can see that.
Yeah, personally, I want some extra home games.
But as the team, we're not going to be like, oh, man, we should have beat NYCFC. Now we got to travel to, Cincinnati. Oh, no, Cincinnati. Yeah. Those fans, those what was it, hostile vibes in Cincinnati. Like, anyway, you can't. All right, we got a 145 Eddie for sure. No, Eddie was cool.
Yeah,
Eddie was good. 145 maybe good. In the Spanish show. Yeah, in the Spanish show. Because remember, if you do them in the English show, you still got to do a Spanish show with us after that. So,
yeah.
All right, yeah. Like Crab said, it's gas bagging time. I'm out of things to talk about. Anything else you want to talk about, Chris?
No, man. Actually, I was able to for the first time experience how they closed in the fan zone, the fan area.
Cool,
kind of sucks. I mean, it's cool, but I can't bring my soccer ball to play soccer in there anymore. It's fucking brutal. Like, you know, I wanted to play soccer.
I liked it. I felt like it literally made the stadium bigger, though.
It does, and it's cool that you can go there during halftime. Mexican Futuro goes out there, and nobody was out there during halftime. So, like, that's good.
Oh, I know. Yes, that was dope. Because that same thing. Eventually people are going to realize. Eventually will realize. But we went. We found the table. We sat down. We were vibing. Yeah, it was nice peaceful. And empty. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because everybody that sits everywhere else doesn't go back to that area, even when it wasn't closed off. But now it's even better because not many people go there. And I went there. And guys, it was super packed. Don't even go back there.
Hey, Juan, do me a favor. And if you want to unsubscribe after, feel free. But go ahead, subscribe and hit the notification. I want you on here on Monday. I want you here on Monday with Eddie when we're talking about the Monterrey game. Food lover, you also. Go ahead. And I would love to poo-poo all over Monterrey.
Just don't spam food lover, please. Please.
No.
You're kind of spamming, food lover. You've been like this close to getting the boot, bro. Come on, just chill, bro. Sometimes you have good days. Sometimes you have bad days. Today's been kind of, you've been all right. Come on.
But yes, please join us on Monday. At 9 o'clock, we'll be doing it with Eddie in English. And then at 10 o'clock, en Español. So please join us for that because I would love to hear you guys talk.
Juan, by the way, I want you to look at this comment right here. We're playing with like $5 worth of a team versus your team. Okay. And you guys, you know.
Yeah. All right. All right. Chris.
Nothing else. And we're going to preview Monterrey and fucking destroy you guys. That's what we're going to fucking do.
I mean, I don't know about destroy, but I do think we'll win. But again, we'll talk about that on Monday. And that's it. We got nothing else. So that's a good one, Rohan. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And if you are part of the chat, we appreciate you as always. Thank you, Alejandro, for saying nice hair. We appreciate you sticking with us for the last hour. We forgive Chris for showing up late because he's usually the first one on here because he drives like a maniac. So it's all good. And we'll be back on Monday with Eddie to talk a little Monterrey. And then at 10 o'clock en Español with Eddie Solana and Xavi Lavoz to talk en Español. So until the next one, have a good one.